Genesis 2:26. Now God has already made the creepy things, the water fishing, you know, fish things, you know, all that kind of stuff. 1:26. Genesis 1:26. And God said, let us, which is really cool, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. From the very beginning of the Bible, he was letting you know that there is a Godhead, not just a single personality to God, but really a Godhead. So he said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. And let me just say here, that does show us that this us, that he's making us into the image of this God, is going to include some of the Holy Spirit, looking like the Father, looking like the Lord, all the different relationships that that Godhead represents is placed in us. We are made in his image. And let them rule. Now let's see what we're ruling over here. Let them rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the heavens, the cattle, over all the earth, over all the creepers creeping on the earth, which I think are like bugs. I just want you to see this for a second, because while we're doing this, we'll just go ahead and bust up some other wrong doctrine. Adam and Eve, or Adam, the man he created first, did not need authority over the devil. So God didn't give him authority over the devil. That's false teaching. He was going to be completely, absolutely taken care of by God. And he wouldn't even recognize that there was a devil if he chose to obey God. All right. But he was going to have authority or ruler. He was going to take care of the earth. He was going to take care of the animals, everything that God was making. Okay. He was going to be top creation on the earth to take care of this planet. Okay. And God created the man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. He created them male and female. I want you to see something here. God put this first. He knows how he wrote the word. This is to show all of us that men and women were both created in the image of God, not just the man. Man was the term for the human race, both male and female, until of the fall. So he made them male and he made them female. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Subdue it. Now this is the earth again, not the spirit realm. Fill the earth. That means have lots of babies. Thank you, Jordan and Sarah. Subdue it. Rule over the fish, over the birds, over all the beasts creeping on the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every plant seeding which is on the face of the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of the tree, seeding seed, it shall be your food. Okay, now, verse 31, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good, and there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Now, go to Genesis 2. And let's go to where he gives a little more detail about this. 2:7. And Jehovah God formed the man out of dust from the ground and blew into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. I do believe that when God breathed into Adam, then Adam became a spirit being. But it doesn't really tell us, and I don't believe it's true when you study this, but it's taught incorrectly, that he was spirit-filled. And the reason for that is because when you look at it, he only communicated with God when God came in the picture in bodily form. In other words, if he was filled with the Spirit and he had no sin, and then Lucifer or the snake was deceiving him, then the Holy Spirit in him would have been saying, don't listen to him, don't do this. Do you see what I'm saying? And that wasn't happening. You don't see that happening. So I believe that he was a spirit being at that point, and it's our spirit that's made in the image of God. that we're made in the image of God because we've seen Jesus, and he looks like a human being. He is a human. I mean, he came in human skin, so we're made in that image. But when God breathed life, he breathes a spirit. So we became spirit at that point. All right. Now, and the man became a living soul. So actually, his soul came to life. He had the breath of life. But it does show us that we all come out of God. You know, I mean, we started from God's own spirit being put in, or God putting spirit in us. Jehovah God planted a garden in Eden to the east, and he put the man whom he had formed there. I want you to kind of get this picture because, I don't know, I just think it's important that we really get as deep as revelation as we can about some of these things. All right. You got to kind of look at this as God the Creator is making this man to fellowship with, you know, and for his good purpose. So he makes this garden, and you almost see like God taking this little man and going, you know, like if you play Barbies, you know, you take your little Barbie and you fix up the house and you put the stuff together and you take her and you put her there. The difference is God's little man, he breathes into and has life. So his little man's wiggling and able to move and think. And so he takes him and puts him in this garden, this totally protected environment. Like, look, in this garden that I'm putting you, everything's taken care of. Your life is going to be great. There's animals, there's fruit, there's things, there's flowers. It's great. There's no bad stuff here. All right? Okay, so it says, and out of the ground, okay, so it says, and Jehovah God planted a garden in Eden to the east, and he put the man whom he had formed there. Out of the ground, Jehovah God made to spring up every tree that is pleasing to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the middle of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river went out of Eden to water the garden. From there it was divided and became four heads, and it goes about the different ones. I've looked those up before, but we're not going to get into that now. Jehovah God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to work it and to keep it. All right? So God's like, everything's there. I got fruit trees. I've got all these beautiful smells. I've got all these animals. I've got all these things. I'm going to just put you in here. Woof. Wow. I got everything. And Jehovah God commanded the man, saying, eating you may eat of every tree in the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you may not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, dying you shall die. So God puts him in the garden. He sees everything. He's never had a bad day, okay? He's never had a sinful thought. He's never had any fear. He's never had any worry. How am I going to be taken care of? What am I going to do? He's not looking at the garden like a place that's going to be horrible. It's like, this is going to be great. I get to live here. I get to take care of this place. This is wonderful. Look out there. And then the Lord says, oh, but just don't eat of that tree of the knowledge. That's the only thing I'm asking you not to do. The only thing I'm asking you not to do is don't eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because you'll die. Now remember, man didn't know what dying would even mean, but he did know that God said don't eat of it. Jehovah God said, it is not good the man being alone. So when Paul says it's better not to get married, if you can put this scripture there and say, well, wait a minute, Paul, it does say when God did all this that he thought it was good for man not to be alone. I will make a helper suited to him. And Jehovah God formed every animal of the field and every bird of the heaven out of the ground. And he brought them to the man to see what he would call them and all that the man might call it. Every living soul that was in was its name. And the man called names to all the cattle, to the birds, the heavens, that'd be a long day. But no helper suited to him was found for a man. And Jehovah God caused a deep sleep to fall on the man, and he slept. This is our first surgery. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh underneath. So God takes out a rib. So that rib was taken out of, he had to take other things with that rib, I believe, because he made woman. So the womb, because Adam would have had to be completely self-sufficient to live on the earth. And I can't prove this or anything, but there are animals that actually have both the guy parts and the girl parts, and they reproduce without any help from anyone else. So it's very possible that that could have been with Adam. So whatever, God took part out. So I want you to know that when he did this, I believe Eve, if you want to say Eve, was in Adam from the beginning, and God took that out, because that would be the only place where she heard this command. So I just wanted you to see this. So this was taken out, all right? And Jehovah God formed the rib which he had taken from the man into a woman and brought her to the man. And the man said, "This now at last is bone from my bones, flesh from my flesh, for this shall be called woman, because she has been taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." Now let me break you free from some other false doctrine in case you've ever heard it. And I don't like preaching what's being taught falsely. I'd rather just preach the truth. But when people take and kind of twist words a little bit and it causes damage, then it's important to say what that is. And you see Paul doing that in the epistles many times. It never says that they're one spirit. And I've had people tell me that they believe that they became one spirit. If that were true, then you would have to be married in heaven. It's just not true. It's not biblical. It's not in here. And the same way that you're one flesh is not true, that in a physical sense, they're actually one being, correct? So what God is saying here is a very powerful statement of how God sees things. And what God is saying, when the two of you, now it's funny that he's saying this too, because there are no parents for them to leave yet. So he's setting up principle, right? God is setting up a spiritual principle or law that's going to keep on and on, okay? Because why would God say right here that you shall leave your father and mother and shall cleave to your wife? Because there is no father and mother for them to leave, right? So what God is doing here at the very beginning of the book, he is setting into motion the concept of marriage. And he uses the word wife. Okay? So this is the first time. And this is God's original intention, even though the... we'll look at this in a minute. Even though you'll see later on with sin and the fall of man that men begin to take more than one wives and things like that. That was not God's original intention. Because that would just be a perversion. If he sees you as one flesh, then how can you bring another woman into that? And another woman into that, okay? So God's original intention was... there's going to be a wife for every man. And they'll leave their family and cleave to their wife. And I just want to say this. We're not going to have time probably to get into this today. We may have to do it on one Tuesday night or something. But man, you need to really pray about, did you leave your family to cleave to your wife and everything in your family was in order? Or did you run away from your family? Did you leave your mother and father as a whole person who was nurtured correctly to then be able to go and cleave to a wife? Or did you not even have your mother and father both in the picture? Okay? So we can see the real big breakdown that we go through as a society because people haven't known God. Okay? And the reason I say this is God wants us to be free from rebelling against his ways of doing things. His ways are awesome. It's just Satan's corrupted it. And the teaching on rebellion is very powerful for this. We live in a culture that has rebelled against marriage. If you've ever had sexual relationships outside of marriage, you have rebelled against marriage. You need to repent of that. We may get to that today. Some of that is on the teaching called rebellion. If you If you, in other words, God's concept is a good one. Just because the devil messes it up doesn't make God change his original intention and concept. And so when you rebel against marriage, you're rebelling against God. And you'll have a very hard time having the grace to have an awesome marriage, okay? God also wants you to see this thing. Husband is with family. That's his family. That's his relationships. That's his life.